honest and unafraid.
This is Ruskin and Zach.
All right, good to have you in here. Friday. And we're joined now on the Williams Tractor Hotline by former Razorback and a Super Bowl champion with the Green Bay Packers. Brett Good is with us here on Ruskin and Zach. Brett, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
We're doing good. Appreciate you spending some time with us today. At what point during the two-week layoff is it for these guys getting ready for the Super Bowl? Is it, all right, let's just play already. Like, enough of the time off and all the stuff. Is there a point where you just kind of get tired of waiting, I guess?
You do get tired of waiting, and it's a lot of hurry up and wait, and then you have to wait all day on Sunday, too, you know, being a night game. So, you know, being down there in Miami right now, they've had all week with the media and distractions. And when we were at the Super Bowl, our families flew in on Thursday. So you kind of start breaking it up a little bit and kind of go with the family. And then once Friday and Saturday hit, you go back to football and you start kind of preparing the way you would on a normal week.
Are we making too much? I mean, those of us who've never been through the process, do we just make too much of what Super Bowl week is like? Like Friday, I'm imagining clandestine meetings and you guys get on secret unmarked buses and go to a hotel where nobody can find you. Or is it just, we're switching hotels to get away from everything?
No, it's big. I know when we were in Dallas, you know, we had to wear name tags. It didn't matter who you were. You had to wear a name tag. And you had two different colors on the back of your name tag. One got you into the meeting rooms, and the other got you on the player hotel floor. And,
Hold on. Aaron Rodgers had to wear a name tag?
Absolutely.
Really?
There's so many police officers, and because there's so much going on. You know, the crowds are unbelievable. The hotels are completely packed. And I'm sure it's even, you know, greater down there in Miami. It is crazy.
Wow.
The atmosphere of fans everywhere.
That's insane. He's Aaron Rodgers. Everybody knows who he is.
Well,
weird.
You still got to have the credentials to get
in. Yeah, I guess.
Nobody's above the law.
Yeah. I could see Mike McCarthy out there going, where's my quarterback?
Well, he didn't have his credentials. The cops didn't let him in.
They didn't let him in the building. That's right. we were talking with Brett Good, a Super Bowl champion with the Packers, and a former Razorback here on Ruskin and Zach. And I would imagine another thing, too, is, I mean, people don't think about it, but you had a job, Brett, where the only time your name was said on television is if something went bad. Now, nothing went bad all that often for you in your great career, but that's a lot of pressure on that stage, isn't it?
It is, but, you know, at the end of the day, you still have to treat it like a normal game. And as hard as that is to say, there are a lot more nerves going into the Super Bowl. Obviously, it's a heightened experience. You know, you've got the media down there. You got the fans. You have the whole 2 weeks. That's all you're hearing. You know, you're the only game in town. And so it's a different game. But once you start playing, it goes back to being a football game. And that's when everybody starts kind of relaxing and just kind of going back to their technique and things that they've done all year.
Did you have a chance to just, I don't know, after you guys come out of the tunnel, to just sort of look around and go, oh, my God, I'm at the Super Bowl? And what are your sort of vivid memories, things that you remember about that afternoon?
I think one of the crazy points was during pregame warm-up, I was snapping just out there with the guys, and then on the big screen, Jumbotron there in Jerry's World, they had, you know, put name up there and had where, you know, being from Fort Smith, Arkansas, and it had all the Super Bowl stuff around it. That kind of gets to a moment where you're like, oh my, this is real. And it kind of seems fake, but it seems real at the same time because you've always dreamed of going to this game and playing in the greatest game there is, and then it just happens. And so you have to kind of take it all in. We were able to go for the specialist. We actually went to the stadium. There was a lot of ice that actually happened at our Super Bowl, so our travel schedules were mixed up. So we would actually travel 45 minutes to the stadium, and then we'd have to go back over and meet the team for practice. But that was nice, you know, going to that stadium and kick, you know, getting loose and getting ready and kind of just letting everything relax. And that's the biggest point, is you just got to let it relax and just go play football.
Was there, did you ever look over, you know, around the sideline area and see anybody famous during a game?
Everybody. But, you know, the thing about it is, in Green Bay, Dallas, when you played in Dallas, when you play everywhere else, you see famous people all the time.
So
you're not like shell-shocked saying, oh, there's somebody famous, because you're used to seeing a lot of famous people on the sideline, especially for bigger games, being, you know, Monday night games, Sunday night games, or Thursday night when they're prime time. You know, that's when the stars come out. So you just kind of get them all at one place. I tell you, the hardest thing probably the whole Super Bowl was the halftime. You know, it's an extended halftime period where instead of a 12 minutes, you know, they got the whole halftime show, and it's almost 30 minutes where you go sit in the locker room. So you got to kind of recalibrate something that you're not really used to doing.
What's it like in the locker room before you guys go out and everybody's, well, they don't do the individual introductions, but, McCarthy's, getting up into that final address. I mean, what's that like for you guys?
Just means it's getting closer to game time. When you start getting to that point, everybody has their own little routine. Some guys lay out their jerseys. Some guys, put their cleats on, do different things with their stretching techniques beforehand. And it's just kind of getting into the same routine that has got you to this point. And that's the biggest thing that you did. When we walked in there, we didn't have any doubt that we weren't going to win the game. It was that confidence. And we had that throughout the playoffs. We thought you could put anybody in front of us, and that's just the way we're going to do it. We had a little bit of swagger. And that's what you have to have. Everybody's good. Both teams are excellent football teams for a reason. They're in a Super Bowl, but it's that team with that extra swagger that can go out there and handle the pressure because it is a different game.
We're talking with Brett Good, Super Bowl champion with the Packers, here on Ruskin and Zach on the Williams Tractor Hotline. Now, and I think people will recall there was an ice storm around the Dallas area during the Super Bowl. So be honest, you were glad the game was indoors. I mean, Green Bay and then go to a Super Bowl in the ice storm. I mean, were you glad the roof was closed?
We were definitely glad the roof was closed. It was a little bit of disappointment because, we played the NFC Championship game in Chicago, and it was really cold, and we were so excited to go to Dallas, and we were like, it's going to be nice, 70 degrees, and we get down there, it's an ice storm. So it kind of put a little damper on a few things, but we managed, and we got it done. That was nice.
What's the after party like at a Super Bowl? Now, you guys didn't have anybody like Gronk, which makes the thing just takes it to a whole different level, but what was the after? I'm assuming that you guys didn't go to bed until probably 8, 9, 10 in the morning.
We had Kid Rock that was performing at the hotel.
Ooh.
And there's different places you go to, and then I went to a couple other places. I got back to the hotel about 7:15, and we were supposed to leave the hotel to go to the airport to fly back to Green Bay. And let's just say a lot of guys didn't make that first call, though. So I had a guy banging on my door and came inside and said, we got to go. So I got about 45 minutes of sleep and went and got a Bloody Mary and got on the plane and headed back to Green Bay.
That's the best. It's the best. You have a lean for this game on Sunday. Dre Greenlaw, of course, the former Razorback with the 49ers, but Kansas City, kind of the regional team, I guess, here in Western Arkansas.
I grew up, Dallas Cowboy and Chiefs fan, because that was the games that you got. Obviously, support Greenlaw. I hope he does well. But I still would like to see Andy get one. I know he's kind of been in this situation up and down, and I think that would kind of solidify his Hall of Fame career. But excuse me. But most importantly, I just want a good game. I want to be able to be entertained, and I want it to be a really good game where everybody plays well, and it comes down to the last drive, because that's the way a Super Bowl would be, the great Super Bowl.
How special is it when they hand you that box with that piece of jewelry in it? And I mean, you literally go down in history. You're a Super Bowl champion. I mean, you'll be addressed as a Super Bowl champion for the rest of your life. But when you open that box for the first time and you see that thing, you go, oh, my God.
It's reality, because, the crazy thing was, the night before the game, Mike came down there and after the team meeting said, we're going to get fitted for our rings. And it kind of caught everybody by surprise. We didn't know. We were like, okay, you kind of think that you got to win first. But we actually walked out of the team meeting room the night before the game and went and got fitted for our rings. And then you start thinking, like, oh, yeah, we're going to win. And then you get that box. We had the lockout year that year, so it was a little bit different. We didn't get to go do all the tours as quick. But we had a separate venue there in Green Bay, and you go up there and you open that box. And they kind of replay the moments of the Super Bowl, the big moments where points are being scored, and you finally win. The confetti comes back down again. And it's just it's a moment that's kind of unexplainable, but it's one of the greatest moments of my life.
Wow. Have you ever gone back and watched the game, start to finish?
I have watched the quick version. I have not watched the long version of it, but I have watched it a few times. It's been a few years. Every now and then, when the NFL Network does the games leading up to the Super Bowl, I'll catch that a little bit and watch it. But, I know the outcome. I can still remember, for the most part, I can remember every bit of that game. So there's nothing that is not kind of on the tip of my tongue to be able to talk about, because you have to live in that moment and enjoy it, and I was able to do that.
Yeah. Well, good stuff, man. Brett Good, Super Bowl champion with the Packers, and former Razorback with us here on Ruskin and Zach. Thanks for the time today, Brett. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right. Brett and all our guests join us here on the Williams Tractor Hotline.
Ruskin and Zach.
Many times on this show, we've asked you to suspend disbelief for entertainment purposes.
Yes.
I would like to say that I am not making up what I'm about to read.
This is actual real news.
This came out of a newspaper in Oregon, a very reputable publication.
High Times magazine?
And I'm reading it verbatim.
Okay.
So if they can print it, I can read it.
Okay.
I am not making this up.
All right.
A jury has awarded $400,000 to two Oregon dog breeders who sued the International Canine Semen Bank, alleging that it mistakenly destroyed frozen dog sperm from the 1990s that could have produced hundreds of coveted cream of the crop Labrador Retriever puppies. Oh, hold on. I haven't gotten to the part I'm not making up.
That they wrote that in the paper. They
I'm
did.
Just, I'm
okay.
Just I'm not making this up.
Oh, boy.
The plaintiffs, Brad Barcroft and Dick Wiener, claim...
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, a dog breeder named
Barcroft and Dick Wiener claimed the Sandy Area Sperm Bank negligently allowed the sperm of six prized, long-dead Labradors to thaw and become useless after a freezer mishap in 1997. Happens to us all. Wiener and Barcroft alleged the sperm bank then hid its mistake for nearly two decades until a former employee of the company shared the news with them in 2006.
And who was that? Who were those plaintiffs again?
The plaintiffs were Brad Barcroft.
Yeah, and who's the other one?
Dick Wiener.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Oh.
So, wow. Your Ruskin and Zach Twitter poll today.
Flawless.
Thank you.
Ruskin and Zach.
All right, welcome back here on the program. Half past the hour, and we'll talk some Super Bowl commercials now with Tim Burt. His website is timburtmedia.com. He's a marketing expert and strategist in town for an event coming up. Is that tomorrow?
That would be tomorrow.
Tomorrow, and Tim's with us here on the Williams Tractor Hotline. Hi, Tim. How are you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. So it's my first question is a simple one with a complicated answer, but why do some Super Bowl commercials work and some of them just don't work at all?
You're right. That's a very simple question. The answer is it depends on the commercial. It depends on what emotion you're trying to evoke from the audience. Now, if you're let's say a Taco Bell, for instance, and you say, hey, come in on Tuesday and get two free tacos. That has a much better chance of getting people into a Taco Bell as opposed to a car commercial that tries to tell a sad story. Not everybody's going to run out and buy a car online that night. It depends on a lot of factors, like you said, but it really does come down to the emotion. What are you trying to get the audience to do? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. The Super Bowl is sort of the Oscars for commercials, correct? I mean, this is the biggest stage, the biggest platform for these advertisers, and they put a lot of thought into this. My question to you is this. This is the event and the commercials have become almost as big as the game in a lot of respects. My question to you is, you actually sit down and watch everyone and rank them and on effectiveness. How the heck do you sit down and go, you know what, that one's better than that one?
Well, I take them in clusters. And to be fair, I only get to see the first part of the game up until the first commercial break. That's really about all I get to see because the rest of the time I am typing. And this year I might do it on video. But you have to break them down into clusters, and you have different categories, car dealers, fast food, mortgages, whatever it is. I judge commercials on what is going to bring money back into the business because, like you said, this is the Oscars for advertising. I mean, this is, quote, their Super Bowl. When you have 220 million eyeballs on you and you're spending $10 to $15 million or more to be on this platform, the way I view it is if that was my money, you better believe I want some of it back or if not more. And what are you going to do to actually convince your target audience to come in and, go to your store, go to your website, text whatever number to this, word to this number, whatever it might be. Most of them don't do that. And that's why the funniest ads are the ones that always, people like, but it doesn't drive them. It doesn't drive business. And that's the problem. That's the big disconnect here.
We're talking with Tim Burt, media expert here on Ruskin and Zach here on the Williams Tractor Hotline. So what kind of return is the return immediate, like the next week, or is it, how do you measure the return on a Super Bowl commercial for these businesses? Is it weeks? Is it months? How does that work?
It depends. You know, again, you know, using the Taco Bell example or Burger King, you know, if they said, hey, come in Tuesday and get a free Whopper. Okay, if all of a sudden you're making, you know, 200, 300, 400% more Whoppers because people are coming in, that's just the gateway drug, you know, because you're going to go in there, you're not just going to get the Whopper, you're going to get the fries and the drink and et cetera. If you're a car dealer, well, look at your end, you know, your quarterly stats, your end of year stats, and say, was there a bump? You know, did we all of a sudden see start selling a lot more Ford F-150s after our Super Bowl commercial? Yes or no? You know, you compare that year over year. So it depends on the product and the category and time of year. You know, because, I mean, let's face it, if you said, if you were, let's say, somebody like Apple Vacations, for instance, and you're talking about, book a winter getaway to Vail, Colorado. It's cold already. I can just do that here. I'm not going to go. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of variables that come into play. But generally, the as a blanket statement, the return on Super Bowl commercials is not very good.
So why spend the money? I guess it's okay. So let's get specific here. Give me an example of a Super Bowl commercial that you rated very highly and said, yeah, that one works. And then give me one where you went, that just sucked. And they just wasted their money.
Yeah, I'll tell you the one that, a terrible one that everybody loved this commercial. Let me go back like to 2008 or 2005, I think is when this one started. Do you remember the E-Trade baby?
Yes. Yes, the talking baby, yeah.
Yeah, the talking baby. People loved that commercial, that series of commercials. And they played that thing out for 2 or 3 years. At the time, their stock was about, I think, about $200, $300 a pop. Now it's under $50.
Mm.
So, and guess what? After 08, it stayed there.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, a commercial people loved, but it didn't translate to sales.
I thought they were hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, they absolutely they were. I laughed along with you. But they didn't make E-Trade any money.
Yeah. So
that's a problem.
We're talking with Tim Burt here, a media strategist here on Ruskin and Zach. So I guess the doomsday, because even if everybody hates the commercial, if they're talking about the brand, it still kind of works. So I guess the failure would be if people are talking about the commercial and they don't remember what the product was for. Like, did you see the one where those guys were out in the woods? What was that for again? That's kind of disaster, right?
I'll give you a classic example. You ready?
Yeah.
From 2012, Jerry Seinfeld and Jay Leno. Do you remember this commercial? It was a car commercial.
Hmm. I don't remember.
Do you remember this
one? Yeah, vaguely.
Jerry Seinfeld.
I remember, you know what? I remember them. I don't remember what it was for.
Right, yeah.
Jerry Seinfeld was going, it was
a food commercial,
second guy
in
line. What's that?
Was it a Doritos commercial? No.
No.
Okay, yeah, I have no idea.
No, quite the polar opposite.
Uh-oh.
This was for a Jerry. I'm sorry, Jerry Seinfeld was the second in line to get the brand new model of this car, and he spent the entire time trying to convince the guy to let him be the first. And then at the end, Jay Leno swoops in right as they're going to make this deal. Jay Leno swoops in and makes the guy a better offer, and he leaves, and Jerry Seinfeld is, you know, left holding the bag. And at the very end of the commercial, it was for the brand new Acura NSX. You're talking about a $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 car, if not more.
Yeah.
And yet, here's the classic, here's your true test. Just like you said, the next day I go around and ask people, oh, do you see that Jerry Seinfeld and Jay Leno commercial? Oh my gosh, yeah, that was so funny. And I'd say, do you remember what they were selling? No.
No.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Now, you could say, in this world of Google and YouTube, yes, you can go on there and find out. But if it really resonates with you and really speaks to you, you will remember it. But the problem is, nobody did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a problem.
So what are you anticipating Sunday? The commercials, I mean, there are a lot of websites, you included. I mean, everybody ranks these things. Are you anticipating a big bonanza on Sunday? Or is this going to be another year where you go, man, these just weren't that good?
This is actually kind of a weird year because of the whole Kobe Bryant thing, and a number of advertisers have actually changed their commercials. You know, Planters with the whole Mr. Peanut thing, they were going to bury him. I think the last I heard, they're still going to do that. I don't know. But the other thing is, Fox said back in November, hey, we're sold out of ad space. And then the NFL says, well, we're getting more requests to buy some time. Can we work out something? And Fox and the NFL worked out a deal. So they actually added more commercials. The thing I'm looking forward to most is the thing that I don't see coming. There's every year there's an ad that just comes out of left field and just blows me away. That's like, people are going to buy that because of whatever it is, blank. That's what I'm looking forward to. So the ads that have been released online this year, I don't watch them because I want to be surprised.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, I like to see them in real time and not ahead of time. All right, you're in Northwest Arkansas for an event tomorrow. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Yeah, you can get tickets at businessnwa.com. It is me speaking. I have 2 hours, and I've got two seminars for you. I'm going to teach you how to create a message that sells and so you can make a better commercial. So if you own a business, you market a business, you're struggling with your marketing, come see me. And then the second half is if you sell anything online, I'm going to show you the things that you're probably not doing to actually increase your online sales. And you can get tickets at businessnwa.com, and they're only $20.
All right.
And seats are limited.
Ruskin and Zach.
I want to talk to Andy on the phone here. Hi, Andy. What's going on?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
It's going to sound funny to you. I've waited all day to hear you guys on this on the Kobe Bryant thing, and primarily because, well, I'm not going to pretend that I thought about Kobe Bryant every day or anything like that. And the only time I thought about him was playing the Bulls or retiring and stuff like that. So I wanted to hear you guys. And let me tell you something. After listening to syndicated talk show radio hosts, hearing you guys in this genuine, 100% honest reflection of an icon, I've gained so much respect for both of you and what you're talking about and how you're putting it into perspective. And that's refreshing. Now, my daughter yesterday, I was out working in the yard. If you don't mind me sharing the story, is it okay?
Absolutely. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, she's 14 years old. This is just a story how he and people like him have transcended generations of people. She comes out on the front porch. She said, "Dad, Kobe Bryant passed away, or just, well, she said, just died in a helicopter crash with his daughter." And my first thought was, how do you know who Kobe Bryant is? And that's who he was. I mean, she plays organ. She's not a sport. She doesn't do sports, but she knows who Kobe Bryant is. So that's the kind of man he was. And the thing is, when he was playing, I gained respect for him tremendously because, well, I'm born and raised in Chicago. Michael Jordan, he always had respect for the game. I'm talking about Kobe. Respect for the people that came before him. Not one time did he ever, guys, and you can back me on this, did he ever come out and say, "I'm the greatest of all time, I'm this, I'm that"? He always respected the game, the people that came before him, and what he did after he retired to reinvent himself and become the father. I didn't know he was that good of a father. I didn't know he was that good of a husband. We heard the negative because, you know, that's all we know, unless you're a fan and live in L.A. area. For us to learn what kind of person he was, of course, added to the traumatic effect. And I gotta tell you, it's touched people that he probably never even knew he touched. And I want to thank you guys for so eloquently and professionally, not overreacting, but just stating the facts, because that's what we need in times like this, because there are so many people that lost their lives in that accident. And you guys have touched on that, and you've kept it real. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it. That means a lot to hear that, because these are not easy days to do these shows. I mean, we love to come in here and joke around about stuff all day.
Ruskin and Zach.
We're back here on the Ruskin and Zach Show. Time to check in with Nikki Chavanel from Hogbeat.com, part of Rivals.com. We are 8 days away from the other national signing day in college football. Hi, Nikki. How's it going?
Hey, guys. It's good. It's good. I'm trying to get my ducks in a row early this time for signing day, but it's inevitably going to be very stressful.
Yes, it definitely is always a busy day. A lot of coverage on the Rivals site and on Hogbeat.com for National Signing Day. Before we get cranked up here, yesterday Robert Scott out of Conway goes to Florida State. What can you tell us about what went into that decision?
Yeah, so Robert Scott, he was recruited by Arkansas under Chad Morris, but not very hard. I think it was kind of a mutual deal. Robert Scott had wanted to get out of state, so he committed to Ole Miss. And then when the coaching change happened, both here and at Ole Miss, you know, both schools were recruiting him, but he ended up really liking Florida State, and that's even farther away. And I think that, you know, he just wanted to experience something different. And maybe if Sam Pittman and Brad Davis had had a whole year to convince him to stay in state, it would have worked, but with the amount of time they had, it just wasn't enough. And he's a great kid, so I hope he really does well down there.
16 commits in the class. Give me kind of a, you know, 30,000 foot assess where this class is, you know, with what Sam Pittman started. I mean, if you were going to grade him, you know, A to F, what would you give him?
Well, we're still trying to see if he can get guys back that Arkansas once had and then ended up losing, guys that are really important, like Brandon Frazier, tight end, Alan Horace, tight end, Savion Williams, a wide receiver. But with the in-state guys, he's done a great job, added JT Towers as well, who I feel like is as deserving a kid as anyone of a scholarship. He had a really, really great senior season at Joe T. Robinson. Overall, it looks like they're hitting a lot of needs, and I like, obviously, the additions of Felipe Franks and Jerry Jacobs as grad transfers, and then also the general focus on defense, I think, was really strong. It's not going to be a class that ranks particularly high. At this point of the year, there just isn't enough top talent available to get the number of points you need for a highly recruited class, but overall, I feel like there's good pieces, and we'll just have to see how they turn out.
We're talking with Nikki Chabanel from Hogbeat.com here on the Williams Tractor Hotline on Ruskin and Zach. Any news on Malik Hornsby and what's going to happen there?
Well, so he really liked his visit here. He already had a long relationship with Kendall Briles, and he liked what he had to say. I think they made it known to him that he's their top choice, but he does still have a trip to Baylor this weekend, and I know that they kept the associate head coach down there, so there's still some familiarity. I want to say it's an Arkansas lean at this point, but, you know, maybe I'm surrounded by positivity on Arkansas' side, and I don't really know much of what the Baylor coaches think. I do have some connections down there, so maybe I'll try to find out, but right now I'm being cautiously optimistic for Arkansas because they just really need him.
Hey, Nikki, I think it's unlikely that they're going to get to 25 in this class, but if you were, you know, going to give me your best guess, how many do you think he'll actually wind up signing? Could he get to 20?
Yeah, I think he can get to 20 based on the guys that are still in the mix and have Arkansas really high up there. They have 16 now. If you add, well, so the 16 doesn't include Felipe Franks and Jerry Jacobs, who both have to count in the 25 maximum. So they technically have 18. And then you have Jalen St. John, an offensive lineman from Missouri, who was committed to Brad Davis at Missouri. So I like Arkansas's chances there. He's going to Florida State this weekend, so hope Mike Norvell doesn't snatch another one away. Marcus Henderson, he has Ole Miss in the mix. But they're looking at him to play defense maybe. So does he want to stay at offensive line or play defense? That's a toss-up there. But those two guys, I think, are Arkansas leans at this point. So that's two more. Alan Horace, he is also looking at Ole Miss and will be there this weekend. But he was previously committed to Arkansas. So they have as good a chance as anyone right now. And then Malik Hornsby. Those are four guys that I think will possibly go to Arkansas on signing day.
Nikki Chabanel is our guest. Hogbeat.com, the place for all the recruiting latest information. HAWG, Hogbeat.com. Their frighteningly thin at tight end right now. So this is a big question when you, and I saw your article today on Jake Ray, a 2020 tight end out of the state of Florida.
Yeah, so this is a guy that I'm sure John Cooper had heard about while he was down at UCF, the new tight ends coach. So he wasn't offered by UCF just yet because they'd already had a commitment, but Jake Ray is currently committed to UNLV. He only committed there like a week ago, so I don't know how too attached he is to them, but he's definitely highly considering an Arkansas official visit this weekend. But Alan Horace and Brandon Frazier are definitely the two top priorities, both previously committed here. So I think they have to go all in on them before they can bring in another guy, because that might hurt your chances with them.
Nikki, what's the top priority left if you're going to go position? I mean, if they're going to get one, who's the guy they're going to put the most emphasis on?
Well, that's tough. You always want to say quarterback, but at how thin they are at tight end, I'm not sure how solid the grad transfer market is right now at tight end. I'm about to look into that for a story tomorrow, but I think tight end is incredibly important. Offensive line numbers-wise, they're okay. I think you want to add more talent, but numbers-wise, they'll be fine.
What do we know, Nikki, about what the Kendall Briles offense may look like? Because you hear different stuff from different people, and it's kind of all over the map. What have you been able to find out about what they want to do offensively this year?
Yeah, well, it looks like they run a pretty good mix of running and passing. It's a spread offense, up-tempo. It looks like at Florida State, they had to maybe pass a little bit more than they would have liked to. It wasn't as much as a 50-50 split. But here at Arkansas, I think you're definitely going to have to use that run game, because it is going to be very strong, I think, with Rakeem Boyd coming back. But they always score a lot of points. So I know that a lot of that sounds like what we may have heard before, but with Sam Pittman's emphasis on offensive line, I think the run game will continue to be very strong.
Hey, Nikki, have you ever fallen asleep at work? 46% of Americans say they've fallen asleep at their desk.
Well, that's not exactly fair, because I work from home. So if I want to take a nap, I don't think I've ever fallen asleep while actively working, because it's impossible.
Do you ever fall asleep during a Chad Morris press conference?
No, I haven't. Usually I'm too busy holding up a camera or, you know, ferociously typing almost word for word what he's saying.
You guys don't use voice text?
No, we don't.
Oh, I've got a website. Well, hang on. I've got a website for that for you, which would help you a ton. It's phenomenal. Make your job a whole lot easier.
Like, it's simultaneous?
It could be.
Whoa. Well, our subscribers appreciate live updates of these things, so they want, as it's happening, they want to see what he's saying, and usually, you know, chipping in their own commentary along with it.
You're also forgetting during Chad Morris press conferences, you were standing there just stunned that he actually just said that, whatever it was. You're just stunned he actually just said, I get one more vote than everyone else, or whatever the quote of the
day. Sometimes, where it wasn't very much of anything.
Yeah, it's true. All right, hogbeat.com, where you need to be. National Signing Day is next Wednesday, so get signed up for that. H-A-W-G, hogbeat.com. And Hutch's baseball stuff is on there, and he's the best. So do that for two reasons. All right, thank you, Nikki. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Ruskin and Zach.
What do you have?
So I woke up at 4 o'clock in this morning because, you know, at my age, you got to pee. So I get up. That's right. I had my phone was lit up, so I went and I looked at my phone to see, you know, who had sent me messages or whatever. And by accident, I'd left my Twitter account open. And I read this and then spent the next 2.5 hours trying to disprove this fact. Mm. This is what I learned today. When you snap your fingers, the sound that you hear is your finger hitting your palm. I sat there for hours. I put my ear up next to it. Read that again. When you snap, The sound comes from your finger hitting your palm.
Ruskin and Zach.
Greg White is the head boys basketball coach at Bentonville West High School in his fourth season. And he joins us now here on the Williams Tractor Hotline to give us some thoughts on the passing of Kobe Bryant. Coach, how are you today?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing good. First of all, how do you handle this with your team that if they didn't watch some of the games late in his career, they definitely know about Kobe Bryant and basketball. Just what's your message to a team on a day like this?
Well, today, honestly, we didn't even address it. And a lot of that's because I'm still processing it. I feel like I went from being a kid to being an adult with Kobe. He's my age. You know, I'm a year older than him. Seeing a guy my age go straight to the league, you know, and just growing up, watching him become a father, watching him become a professional. I told some friends yesterday, you know, when I first heard, I didn't want to believe it. And, you know, and we were hoping it was false. And then just sitting there, you know, for my generation, you know, we lived through 9/11. And this is the first time for me that someone I've never met, I was moved by their passing. Not just, you know, anytime someone loses a life, you know, you think of the mortality, but this guy's bigger than life, and he does what I do. I mean, I've got his shoes. I've got kids that play in his shoes. My son wears Kobe's. So it was, it still doesn't seem real. I talked to Coach Neighbors last night about it, you know, and he was right. It's not going to feel real for a long time, because even though Kobe had retired, he was still visible with his daughter, and watching him become a parent has helped me be a better parent, you know, and how I'm not the guy on the court anymore. Yeah, I'm in a different role as a coach than some parents, but watching him just give the game to his daughter and how much he loved her and shared it with her, it was helping me. And it's a sad day for not just basketball fans. It's a sad day for, I mean, the world. I mean, he was a world figure. So,
Greg, how much of Kobe's game, how much did, I mean, for folks our age, Michael Jordan was the biggest influence in basketball. Everybody wanted to be like Mike. But how much of Kobe's game translates to your kids, you know, the generation before them? I mean, he had to have been, over the last 20 years, maybe with LeBron, the greatest influence on young basketball players in the world.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you're right on that. Our kids that are playing today and the guys older than them, they don't remember watching Michael play. You know, they hear the stories, and so when we talk about Michael being the greatest of all time, you know, they, oh, well, that's you saying. You know, they immediately came back with, what about Kobe, or what, you know, what about LeBron? And I show them videos and talk about Kobe, and I'm like, if you didn't get to watch Michael play, Kobe was the closest thing. And there's stuff all over. I mean, we use terms. We use Kobe as a term in our program. I mean, you know, we talk about, when our scouting report, hey, this guy's a Kobe. Well, that's the nicest thing, you know, that's their guy. You know, and so our kids understand the respect for him, and, you know, and they know that he's a great player, and they saw things, and, you know, it was on Twitter, someone said, I don't know any kid that's probably from age 10 to, if you're mid-30s and 40s, that doesn't take it, write up a piece of paper and shoot in the trash can and say Kobe when they do it. You know, it's, he influenced so many things in our game, and I think it's a tough day. You know, like, we'll address it tomorrow before our game, but we wanted to, you know, kind of in true Kobe fashion, we wanted to make sure we were preparing for our next basketball game. And I know there's a lot of teams around the country having the same conversations and talking about it. And so it's going to be a tough week for basketball. There'll be tributes all across the country, you know, across the world. You know, I mean, as big as he was to us, you know, he was even bigger in China. Imagine that country waking up to the news. And so it's very different right now. Just different feel is the best way to put it.
We're talking with Greg White, the head boys basketball coach at Bentonville West, here on the Ruskin and Zach Show on the Williams Tractor Hotline. I feel like we talked about this earlier, Coach, but I feel like in this era of load management, Kobe Bryant was a guy that if you bought a ticket, you were going to get your money's worth every single night. He was not there were no loaf nights with Kobe Bryant, and I really respected that. Because an 82-game season is long and it's grueling, but it seemed like he brought it every single night when he played.
Well, you know, the Mamba mentality, you know, as people talk about with him, and even in his prime, there were people talking about, oh, he's such a bad teammate. He's a winner. And he didn't understand why those other guys weren't as driven as he was. And that was the thing for me yesterday, just sitting there watching, you know, and listening to everyone with their own recollection. And then Jerry Colangelo was my favorite, talking about how honored he was to play for Team USA, you know, and this is when we weren't the best in the world. You know, we had lost, and Kobe the signs up, and he had just had his 81-point game, and he sits down with Jerry Colangelo, and just to kind of mess with him and see where his head's at, he goes, hey, we just want you to be a facilitator and a passer. And he said, without, you know, even pausing, Kobe looked at him and said, I'll do whatever it takes for us to win again. And that's just, he's the ultimate winner. You know, I know Bill Russell, that people always say the greatest winner of all time with all his championships, but I honestly think Kobe was a guy that was going to find a way to win in everything. He was winning in this chapter of his life as a dad, as a coach. Yeah, I mean, he's just that guy that I said, I made a comment yesterday in a post. He was the last of the killers. You know, like today's game, players jump teams. You know, there's a lot of, and I'm not saying respect for your opponent's bad, but there's a little too friendliness. You know, and I don't think Kobe, actually, he has a quote, friends come and go, banners hang forever. I don't think he had a lot of friends in the league, but I know he had a lot of respect and the respect from the world.
Greg, you're gonna get questions. I mean, you're going to be the adult in the room here. And I mean, this is one of those benchmark moments for a lot of these kids. One of the icons, one of the, you know, their heroes growing up has passed on. And you're going to get questions. Have you thought about, you know, how you're going to address it? Not just with your team, but individually, if a kid comes up and says, Coach, I'm not dealing with this well.
Yeah, you know, I had a young man today that's not even in our basketball program come down, and he's like, Coach, can I shoot? You know, and I'm about to start a PE class, and I was like, well, I've got class going. And I said, where are you supposed to be at? And he said, well, you know, I asked my teacher if I could come down here, and I was like, well, that's kind of odd. And then I looked at him, and he was like, well, he's got on a Kobe T-shirt, you know, and I'm like, man, I said, get you a ball and shoot all you want. And, you know, and we kind of just, you know, you could tell, I mean, there's guys that don't play basketball on teams that, you know, are weekend warriors, that this guy was who they all wanted to be like, and it is. It's the first kind of icon, like you said, that has passed away. And so I think what it tells us, you know, is no matter who we are, you know, we're all mortal. We've all got a time coming, but, you know, some just positive and good that's come from it. I mean, my oldest son's a sophomore in college, 4 hours away. He calls me at midnight last night of course I answer, you know, in a panic, kind of as a parent, like, what's going on? He said, I just want to call and tell you I love you. Well, I mean, it's affecting people in a way that I think is going to be positive. You know, I mean, that's probably the first time he said, I love you first, and I don't know how long, you know, and at midnight for it to hit him. And he talked about the team at Henderson State sitting around the locker room, you know, watching Kobe videos and talking about all this. And then, you know, the parent side, you know, I mean, him and his daughter became a very iconic duo sitting courtside, and how much he supported women's games. And, you know, I've heard Coach Neighbors talk about, you know, Kobe's influence on women's basketball and how he didn't need a son because he had his daughter Gigi, and, you know, the third last moment, you know, on this earth together. I mean, you know, I'm sure he was holding her, and, you know, it's one of those things that as a parent, like, I think you need to take a little time and make those phone calls and make sure everyone knows that, you know, how you feel, and because you never know. And it'll be a tough conversation. We'll talk about tomorrow for our game. How's the best way to honor Kobe? I think that's to go out and play your guts out like he did. You know, like Derek said, he never backed down. You know, everybody's got their favorite Kobe moment. Mine was his last game.
Yeah,
we were you know, it was West Coast late. I'm up. You know, sent my kids to bed. Well, then here comes Kobe making shots, and I'm up in my room trying to be quiet. So I'm going to run in there and wake him up. You know, I'm going in there to get him up to watch this. Open up Evan's door, and he's not in his room. Throw open the door to Hayden's room, and they're sitting there dead quiet watching the game, you know, trying to sneak it in. So we get up and go to the living room together, and a lot of people don't remember this. The Warriors were trying to break, going for 73 wins on the other channel, on ESPN, or ESPN2, whichever one it was. But the whole world was glued in on one guy.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's a team sport, and we talk about making it about the team, but that night it was all about one guy. And special moment. A lot of big moments with Kobe.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be a big loss for the game, loss for the world, and you know it's just gonna. I think it's gonna make us all better in the long run, but no. Tragic day in the sports world.
No. Well, Coach, we appreciate you spending some time sharing with us today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys.
All right, it's Greg White, the head coach of the West Wolverines boys basketball team here.
A lot of that going on around the state today.
How about that memory of you see your kids in the other room watching the same game you're watching in the other room?
You're trying to be quiet.
Ruskin and Zach.
Hey, Andy is going to clarify this for all of us, hopefully. Andy, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Explain to all of us idiots how gambling works.
Before we do this, Andy, are you in the gambling business?
I dabble.
He dabbles.
Okay, so you're good enough for us. You're not on the odds setting side of things or burying money in your backyard.
That is correct.
Okay, go ahead. I just wanted to know where we were.
Gotcha. On the bets you're talking about, a prop bet, it's a 50-50 bet. It's either yes or no. Those are always based on a $100 bet. Mm-hmm. So that's where you get your plus 110 and your minus 130. Now, on the plus 110, if you bet 100, you win $110 plus your 100 back, so you collect 210.
Thank you.
Okay. Yep. On the minus 130, if you bet $130, you win 100, so you'd collect 230. Now that doesn't mean you have to bet 130. It's a percentage. Just divide 100 by 130, and it'll be a percentage. So if you bet 100 on that, you'd win that amount of money. So it's the plus and the minus is only on 50-50 bets, not like point spreads per se.
Right.
Got it?
Okay, so I have a question.
Oh boy!
So when now I'm assuming that you have placed more than one bet.
Yeah, not today, but in all time, yeah.
Okay,
not today.
So if you've got now, are these professional organizations? Or are you doing this with someone that you know we might consider maybe a little shady?
Professional organizations.
Okay, have you ever laid a bet with someone who might be considered shady?
Yes, I have.
So I have a question. So when you went to collect and he was like, nah, I ain't paying you, what do you do? I watch way too many mob movies, so
thank you, sir.
Just say thank you, sir. Merry Christmas.
Ruskin and Zach.
All right, back at it here on Ruskin and Zach. Half past the hour here on a Thursday. Dudley Dawson is with us now. Hogs Illustrated. Arkansas Democrat is at wholehogsports.com. Dudley joins us, like all of our guests, on the Williams Tractor Hotline. Hi, Dudley. What's going on?
Oh, I've been at the DMV all day. So, just joy. Happy joy.
You want a Ruskin and Zach hack on how to avoid that?
Sure.
Where'd you go? Which revenue?
Because I don't live in Washington County. I live just outside of Washington
County. I can't help you. You're done.
Because if Washington County, you go to the revenue office in Lincoln, and there's never anybody
10
there.
10 minutes in and out.
Really?
Yeah, I went in there with a stolen license plate problem, and they fixed it in 20 minutes.
That's a Ruskin and Zach, what is it, advice for living? Is that what Tesh does down the hallway here? All right. There you go.
Yeah, right down the hall.
Right down the hallway. Hey,
y'all do take credit for this being more of a live show than a sports show, right?
Yes. Well, yes, of course. I think our reputation precedes us on that. Okay, on the sports front, though. We're 6 days from signing day. Let's break this down. On the offensive side of the ball, what are they kind of waiting to see? Who makes the decision here? Can you give us kind of a rundown of what they're waiting on?
Yeah, you've got a few offensive linemen who are waiting to make their decisions. Obviously, Robert Scott decided to go with Florida State earlier this week, which he'd kind of been trending going out of state, not coming up here anyway, but Arsenal kind of thought they had a chance there for him at the end. But in that vein, since he's going to Florida State, that eliminated Florida State from Jalen St. John, another offensive lineman from Missouri. So Arkansas is going to get him now. They've got 9 kids coming in this weekend. 4 or 5 of them are probably preferred walk-on options when all is said and done. Waiting on quarterback Malik Hornsby to make his decision. He goes to Baylor this weekend. That's that could go either way. But if he goes there, then probably C.J. Dixon comes here. So it's one of these things now where everything's just kind of slotting itself in as we head into you know, less than being a week away from National Signing Day.
I saw the words today, Clemson grad transfer, and got all excited. What do we know about Xavier Kelly, and is he going to take a visit to Arkansas, and is Arkansas possibly in play here?
Yes, he is on his way. We'll be here either late tonight or early. I think he'll start his visit tomorrow. But obviously, when you play defensive line at Clemson, not only are you a good football player, but it's loaded with talent, so you don't get a ton of snaps. And he's been there for redshirt his freshman year, has played the last 3 years, and done a fairly good job. But I think he wants to get to a place where he can kind of make his own name instead of being one of a group of Clemson defensive linemen. He has relatives in Little Rock, and Arkansas was in on him the first time before he went to Clemson. So this looks like a potential spot. It could be. He won't be here during spring practice or anything like that. But you know from having played the kind of ball that he has, he'd be ready when he got here in the fall if he does decide to come here. But I think Arkansas is a legitimate spot there. But he is not one of these guys that has to decide, you know, in the next couple of weeks. So that may take a little while.
We're talking with Dudley Dawson here on the Williams Tractor Hotline on Ruskin and Zach. Is there... can we get any kind of information on this staff's recruiting ability on the first class, or is this just something you got to wait till next year where they get the full cycle?
Well, I think that the body of work will, you know, being over this next complete year will help us get a better indication. But I will say that they dug out of 6 feet under, which is where they were going to be with these 9, 10, 11 guys that they have gotten both in the early signing period and to you know, as graduate transfers. So, you know, I have to give them credit on that. They are bringing in 22 or 23 different unofficial visitors this Saturday. All the kids, you know, that are juniors and sophomores now, to try to get, you know, continue to get a head start on them. So they're not waiting around to finish one class before they jump on another. A lot of these kids are from the St. Louis area and Arkansas, so you know, that's two areas they're obviously going to hit, as well as the, I'm trying to think of a word other than footprint, the other recruiting areas that Arkansas is going to concentrate in, you know, being obviously Louisiana, Oklahoma, Georgia, and some other places.
I want to ask you a little bit about basketball recruiting. Saw two offers go out to two kids from Central Arkansas, North Little Rock High School. The 6'10", I understand, but 6'1", and a freshman?
Bryson Warren is a freshman basketball player, but he's a little more developed than you would think about most freshmen, and that's why he has offers from Arkansas, Texas A&M, and some others. He's on a loaded team, and so these guys aren't exactly going out and putting up, 30 a game. They're all able to score, but these are two kids, one that's in the 10th grade, one's in the 9th grade, who are going to be very, very good players down the line, and Musselman and his staff can be said they didn't jump on them quick enough by, you know, getting them these early offers.
We're talking with Dudley Dawson from Hogs Illustrated and Whole Hog Sports here on Ruskin and Zach on the Williams Tractor Hotline. Impressions from the game last night, and kind of where Arkansas is losing three of their last four SEC games.
Well, you're going to have a down night, you know, every once in a while. I think you'd rather have it on the road than at home. They didn't come out with much energy, certainly weren't able to score for the longest. And then, you know, for the longest time, Mason Jones was one of the few guys that can score. Isaiah Joe hit some shots and certainly made his presence known, but he wasn't still his same self. This becomes a big game Saturday at Alabama, and it's hard because, you know, they were supposed to be, 12th coming out of the SEC, and they played so well for so long. We're 15-4 going into the last night. That loss dropped them from a tie from fourth place to a lone in 10th place, so it shows you how bunched up that league is. Expectations got, maybe a little out there as they've gone along, but these three, as you said, three of these last four games they've lost. Got to get turned around quickly, or they're going to be who we thought they are instead of overachieving.
You actually just sort of answered my question. I mean, 20 games into this, we sort of have the blueprint. What else can Eric Musselman do with this limited roster to sort of maybe use a little bit of smoke and mirrors to get them to 20 wins, 21, 22.
What? Boy, if I knew, I'd certainly tell him. I know that the one thing that they have been getting a little bit more of is some better play out of, or at least some minutes out of Gentile Silla and Jalen Harris. Last night's foul fest was ridiculous. You know, that's not why Arkansas lost the game. The referees were consistent for both teams in not necessarily making some great calls and doing a lot of anticipating, it looks like. But they've got to get back to playing the kind of defense they did early. And they have, when they scored last night, they attacked the basket. When they played against TCU the other day, only shot 9 three-pointers. Yes, it's cool to shoot three-pointers. And if your guys that are shooting three-pointers are on, that's cool. But not if everybody's going to fling them up. You got to always play inside out. I don't care how good you are on the outside. And they've gotten away from that these last few games. While also, I think, they concentrated so much last night on rebounding and actually tied them rebounding that I don't think they played as tough a perimeter and man-to-man defense and got the easy baskets that they have to have with this limited roster and limited talent.
Dudley Dawson's with us here on Ruskin and Zach. Do you have a favorite sports nickname or two?
Well, I'd have to think about that. I think Boog Powell, that wasn't his real name, but I always liked Boog Powell, a baseball player from back in the day. But, even though I'm a big Celtics fan, Mamba was pretty doggone good and a great marketing campaign and somebody who kind of turned that into his own brand.
What about Andrew Toney in the Boston Strangler? You're a big C's guy. You loved Andrew Toney.
That's pretty good. I mean, I respected Andrew Toney. Didn't necessarily, like to see him, have success against the Celtics. Just like Giannis, you go ahead and say the last name.
Adebayo.
Yes. I have great respect for him, but don't like him to do great when he plays the Celtics. So,
yeah. Rick Carlisle or Scott Wedman, favorite Celtic?
Rick Carlisle, because what he's gone on to do after he quit playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well,
why didn't you throw Greg Kite in?
I could have thrown Greg Kite in.
Why not? Yeah. All right. Dudley, thank you. We appreciate it as always.
You bet, Jeff.
Dudley Dawson, Hogs Illustrated, Whole Hog Sports.
Ruskin and Zach.
Last night, my daughter had a basketball game. Now, there are things about, I will confess that my knowledge of the basketball rules is not as deep as it should be. But I called someone who would know to help me explain this, and I have completely rejected his answer on this because it's dumb.
Okay.
So last night, my daughter is 8, and they're playing basketball.
Yes.
My daughter's jersey color is a lime day glow green.
Like Baylor.
Like the one like this on my shirt, okay?
Well, no one can see
I know,
that
but I'm pointing it out. It is a bright green.
Okay.
The team that they're playing is purple.
Right.
So in the middle of the first quarter, ball goes out of bounds. Ref comes over. Now, these are 8-year-old girls.
Yeah.
He's got the ball under his arm. He points to the spot and says, yellow ball. 5 girls in green shirts look at him like, who the hell is yellow?
Colorblind?
Not. Now, he puts the ball down.
Yeah, because no one inbound. He starts counting. I hate that.
Eight-year-old girls got called for 5 seconds.
Does he think he is Doug Shouse?
Hold on. He picks up the ball.
Yeah.
Says blue ball.
Oh, because it was a violation.
The team in purple gets the ball, but he points to the spot, says blue ball. Puts the ball down. 5 seconds. And they just stood there and looked at him. So I call the only referee I know, Tommy Kraft.
Yeah.
Tommy, why are they doing this? Why can't they just say green and purple? Apparently, referees...
Especially with 8-year-olds.
Exactly. Yeah. Apparently, referees are monosyllabic. They can only utter one syllable.
Yeah.
Red, black, gold.
White.
Blue.
Yeah.
These are 8-year-old girls.
Yeah.
Ruskin and Zach.
All right, I'm drinking one of these energy drinks now. I'm just, my whole life's falling apart, man. I ate with my hands, I'm drinking energy drinks.
That's a Mike Breen energy drink.
Bang energy! Bang. What do you think of it, the Miami Cola?
I've licked sidewalks that are better than this, but I need this.
Bang!
But did you have energy after you licked that sidewalk?
No, actually, I got a hold.
No, he then passed out after he licked it.
I subsequently spent some time in the Nala jail.
So you won't eat with your hands, but you'll freely lick a sidewalk.
It wasn't by choice.
It's a sliding scale.
It wasn't by choice. It was because I couldn't move.
It's time now for the Super Bowl prop bets. So everybody's here. Marcy's here from Brock and Marcy. Darcy. Whatever. Brock and Marcy on Star 101.5 down the hallway. The Red Rifle is here, but he says he's not going to bet on the Chiefs game.
Yes, he is.
An easy cop out. And Zach's here and Thurston's here. All right, so let's start at the very beginning, okay? And I don't want the national anthem's going over. I don't think that's a question.
Who's doing the national anthem?
Demi Lovato.
Who is Demi Lovato?
Really?
Marcy.
You guys really don't know.
I don't know.
I know who she is.
She's a pop star. She's definitely too young for you to know.
Madonna's a pop star.
Exactly.
Madonna's like 60.
Debbie Harry is a pop star.
Demi Lovato is about...
Pat Benatar.
She's 27, got her start on Barney, and then Disney.
Nice. Barney.
Went on to make some records. She's had a very troubled personal life the last few years. Drugs, alcohol, that kind of thing. She's doing better now, though. She just major Grammy performance. That's who she is.
Okay.
The kids
You're going to become our culture correspondent.
I love it.
So the sports line here has the final note, Brave, the final word of the national anthem. Mm-hmm. The over-under is 5.5 seconds. Zach, over or under, 5.5?
Unless it's Carl Lewis, every one of these people turns it into their own personal jukebox. I'll go way over.
Over? All right.
No question.
Red Rifle, will you wager on the national anthem?
Well,
since it's before the game, it's not technically the game.
Well, at Arrowhead Stadium, the last word is
Chiefs. Yeah, they change it. Yes.
So, but I'll take the over.
Okay. All right, Marcy.
Under.
Under. Really? Unless he's on the other side. That's smart play. Mm-hmm. All right, smart play. Now this is interesting. Will any scoring drive be shorter than the national anthem? So, say she sings the national anthem at 2:10. Will any scoring drive by either team take less than 2 minutes and 10 seconds, for example?
Yes.
It will?
Yes.
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah.
Zach?
No.
No? Okay. All right.
I'll say no.
Is someone keeping track of this so that we can...
Well, we record everything, so...
Okay. So we have to go back and listen to
it. We actually recorded for the FCC, but in this particular instance...
That's right. We're on their most wanted list here. Okay. Will the first score of the game... Touchdown or field goal / safety?
I'll take field goal.
Field goal / safety, you're getting plus 160 here. So
which, as we learned, will get you 100, gets 100. You 260.
That's right. You get 160 plus your
100. We learned gambling this week.
Oh, did learn gambling that's this important.
Week. Yeah. First score of the game.
Field goal.
Field goal?
For sure.
I'll take touchdown.
Okay.
Touchdown. Same.
Touchdown. Touchdown from Thurston. Let's see here. If there's anything else in here. Oh, here we go. Number of Jennifer Lopez wardrobe changes. The over-under is 2.5.
Oh, way over.
Yeah?
She's doing halftime?
She's doing halftime with Shakira, yes.
Oh, really?
She's got to split her time.
Hey, hold up. And Shakira?
Yes.
Is that, now, are the wardrobe changes for the two of them?
No. Or number of Jennifer Lopez wardrobe changes.
Okay.
What's the over-under?
2.5.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Does A-Rod... have more wardrobe changes than J-Lo?
I don't know. It's not on the board.
I'm going to say that's going over.
It's not on the board.
I'm going to go. Oh gosh. Over.
Over.
I know who J-Lo is.
I'll take the under.
Take the under. Okay. So two or just one.
There's no way. Or zero. She does more than two.
Yeah.
Four
for Thursday.
He wants the over.
All right. Wow. Four. Okay. Let's go to some of the football ones now. Okay.
Red Rifle checks out.
And now Red Rifle will check out here. The distance of the first Patrick Mahomes touchdown pass, the over-under is at 15.5 yards. So will it be over 15.5 yards or?
Over. I think over.
Over?
She has absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Yes, I do.
You do?
How far he's going to throw it?
Yeah.
Yeah, over. I mean, you're 15 yards isn't that much.
You're a Purdue fan. You haven't seen him pass in years. I'll take the over on that.
Okay. Are you going to be like Herb Street and just like give us a key to the game now? Because you won't pick a side?
You don't do sports?
No, I don't bet on Chiefs.
He's not betting. He's a Chiefs fan and he's superstitious. He's superstitious that he'll screw up everything.
I'm calling the game, so I'm not going to take
it. You're calling? Yeah. Give us a key to the game, Kirk, if you would. Okay. Total receiving yards for Tyreek Hill, 73.5 is the over-under. Oh,
under.
Under?
He is a point of emphasis, I'm told. By someone in the business.
But he could get like 75 on one play, though. I mean, that's possible.
That's true, but I'll take the under because he is the guy they are seeking to stop.
Okay.
Then I got to go over.
Just to be an anarchist?
Yeah.
Just to disagree with me?
To be on
right.
the other
what
side.
Did, what did I ever do to you?
Well, so many things.
Zach, you're just growing a list of things.
I know.
He's making enemies here, left and right. This is the Super Bowl prop bets here on Ruskin and Zach. Okay, now we're getting to the San Francisco side here. Quarterback sacks by the Niners defense. The over-under is 2.5.
Oh, I'll take the over.
Over.
Oh, that group's legit.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going to go, you went over?
I went over.
I'll go under.
Okay.
Sheldon Day, Notre Dame.
Well, then.
Thank you. Here's one of local interest. Mm-hmm. Dre Greenlaw, number of tackles.
Is that the Springdale High School guy?
He's from Fayetteville.
Fayetteville.
Yes. He played at Arkansas.
Okay.
He's now a,
5.5.
Star starting linebacker. The line is 5.5. Over, under, 5.5 tackles for Dre Greenlaw in this game.
I don't know anything about this guy.
So he's pretty good.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. We'll go over.
Okay.
Definitely over.
I'm going to go
over.
Under.
No, this one's got
he's on
under.
Kelsey.
Okay.
He's got
Do
Kelsey.
I have a Kelsey one here? This is a fun one. You know, the 49ers have a fullback. Not a lot of teams have a fullback.
Yeah, Juszczyk.
Juszczyk.
Yes, Juszczyk.
Thank you.
There's a wager here on the board. Will Juszczyk have one rushing attempt?
No.
It's plus 300 for yes. Minus 400 for no. So,
no. No, absolutely not.
They won't run the fullback?
No.
On third and one? Nothing?
Would you?
I don't know. I might try it.
They've
changed up
22 times in 2 playoff games.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Also go with no.
Yeah.
Okay, that's so a whole season at Purdue.
You fullback touched fullback with one rushing attempt, Thurston. Your thoughts? First thing that comes to your brain. Yes. Okay, he's on yes. He's on the other side. Okay. Will George Kittle score a first half touchdown? Yes is at plus 280. No is at minus
I'm gonna say no.
360.
No. The game plan is to run the ball.
Okay.
I got one for you.
Okay. What
they,
do you
they bet on the color of Gatorade
yes, they
dumped
do.
On the coach.
Mm-hmm.
Purple is minus 130. Red is plus 300. Lime green, yellow, plus 450. Orange, clear, or blue?
Lime green.
Green.
Orange.
I bet you it's water.
No. See, I wonder if they've started, now that you can bet on this, I wonder if they've started coordinating with the team.
Yeah,
so everything's
something.
On brand.
They
it's the
know,
NFL.
Yeah,
everything's on brand.
Yeah.
But both teams are red. So I would.
Okay.
Both teams are red. So I think it'd be red Gatorade.
You know, you can bet on the coin toss.
Yes.
If you're betting
everything,
on the,
everything.
If you're betting on the coin toss.
There's no odds on the coin toss, though.
But if, I mean, you, if you're betting on the coin toss, you are a. You have you're a degenerate gambler.
You have no furniture and you have a card table in your living room. That's all you have.
Aaron Harrison.
That's right.
I mean, he bets on which sheep gets up in his field first. I mean, that's how degenerate he is.
You're betting on wardrobe changes.
Right.
Yeah, well, we did that.
No.
Ah, by the way, this is great. The odds the odds on the coin toss, minus 105 heads, minus 105 tails.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Will the game go to overtime?
No.
No.
Okay, minus
but
13.
But if it does... Buffalo Wild Wings is giving away all kinds of food.
They are?
Yeah.
A lot of people texting in saying the Gatorade is going to be purple for Kobe.
It's an interesting
Ooh.
Choice. That's a good strategy there.
Wow.
I like that.
I like it. But then it could be orange for Kobe, right?
No.
It could be yellow.
It could be yellow.
Oh.
Yeah. It could be yellow. Yellow and
orange would be.
There's Darcy, everybody. Purdue graduate. Proud Purdue graduate.
Boiler up. Boiler up. All right. Okay, that's the prop bet. We
Who's
will
the MVP.
Who
you know
Mahomes.
He's plus 115. Jimmy G's plus 275.
I don't think they'll give it to Jimmy G if the Niners win because I mean he's not going to do anything.
Mostert.
Yeah. How about that guy? Wasn't he like a grocery checker? Or
now very Kurt Warner-ish.
Then now he's gonna,
like he's like 29 years old.
I love Kurt Warner.
He?
Don't mess with Kurt Warner. I love him. What's wrong with that?
Which Kurt Warner?
What do you mean?
There's two of them.
Okay, the one that played for the Cardinals.
Oh, okay. All right.
Who's the other one?
He played for the Seahawks.
Really?
Yeah, in like 88.
Oh, okay, well, see. Before I wasn't even
nobody,
I wasn't born.
Nobody knew that. What are you talking about?
You weren't born?
Maybe I was.
You're 54.
But it was we are not the same age, Zach.
54.
Wow.
Ow.
Man.
Burn.
You set it up and she'll bring the snappers,
yeah,
man. Good grief. All right. Thank you, Marcy.
You're welcome.
Marcy, Brock and Marcy on Star 101.5 weekday mornings. When the rush is in a commercial, go over and listen to them and then come back. All right.
Talking about the orange color on the Lakers jersey.
Shut up.
Ruskin and Zach.
You seem nervous.
Yeah, I'm nervous. My bully's here.
The bully is here.
The bully's here. He's right there.
That's the bully.
That's right.
He's staring you down. I know. He's making sure you don't do anything you're not supposed to.
He's asserting dominance against you.
He's a little freaky, to be honest.
Well, the first thing what happened is you pointed at him and go, "That's the bully," and he dabbed. That's the first thing he did.
Do you need to step out and let him come in?
You want to talk to him?
Yeah, why not?
Let him do the show.
Let me go get him. Yeah, hold on.
All right. So you run around and get him and...
I'm just going to bring the antagonist in here.
Yeah, I, why not? I mean, we heard so much about him last week, you know, kicking his butt all over the place and just hauling off and belting him. So,
yeah, what's the worst that can happen?
I mean, what's the worst can possibly happen? Go get the bully!
He could lock him in a smart fridge.
No, I mean, Russ can probably get locked in a smart fridge.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, lure him in there with a snack.
He doesn't even tell us what your name is, so we're just going to refer to you as the bully.
He's the bully.
Come on in, have a seat. Put the headphones on.
Does the bully's mic work?
Will.
Okay.
All right, so what's your name, little man? You're going to have to speak right into that.
My name is Kai.
Anybody?
Kai.
Kai, okay. Kai. So, Ruskin over here is telling us that you haul off and just punch him routinely. Is that fair?
I mean, you have to talk. It's an audio medium.
You have to talk.
They can't see you.
Yes, yeah, you do. I mean, now, speaking for most of our listeners, I think they would like you to haul off and hit him now, if you don't mind.
Okay, I will.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Boy, you did. You flinched.
He knocked me down once. I wasn't ready for it.
So, Kai.
And he was like,
tell us what Ruskin's like at home. Is he as annoying there as he is here?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You could at least wait a second before you answer.
So, what you're actually doing is just trying to keep him in line, you know, teaching him some manners.
Now, here's what I picture. I picture he comes home and he sits down in the recliner and then just tells you to go do stuff. Is that what happens?
No.
No?
No, it's actually the other way around.
Okay.
Kai tells Russ.
Gotcha.
Have you ever looked at him and just go, "Do you want a fresh one?"
No. No.
Yes.
Maybe.
Maybe.
What's
he dabbed again.
It's like a tick with him.
He dabs. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's what he does.
So, Kai, what grade are you in?
Second.
Second. You're going to have to talk into that.
I can hear him. Can you hear? Can no one else hear him? I don't know. Whatever.
Just, you know, for audio.
I'm nervous. Quality. He's going to deck me here.
He just kind of...
biting my nails.
This open eye stare thing is a little freaky, to be honest. So, Kai, your first time on a radio?
Yeah.
Yeah, ours too.
Right.
Who you like in the Super Bowl?
I didn't watch the Super Bowl.
Well, you didn't watch because it hasn't happened yet. That's why. He's not the sports guy. After two pitches, he gets bored at the baseball games.
Okay.
No, you do. You want to go. Hey, you want to go to the playground.
Hey, don't make me take him. Just turn him loose on you. Now I know how to keep you in line. You got a cell phone number that I can borrow, just so I can text you.
Phone out on the air.
Don't. You have a cell phone?
Yeah.
Did you tell him I want a cell phone? You have a cell. How old are you?
Eight and a half.
I have an 8.5-year-old.
No,
stay away from her.
He's the. Are you still dating that girl? Are you still have a girlfriend?
What? Wait a minute.
Maybe.
Oh, you don't know.
Probably not now.
No, yeah, you don't know either. Well, you're going to be a big star after this. So.
Did you drag Ruskin to the store and make him buy you a phone?
Did you just
say that? What happened?
No.
Did you just say, "Hey, yo, you, I want a phone"?
No.
He gets the phones when his mom or I upgrade. He gets it. And his brother lost his phone.
So now,
they both have one, but the other one's lost.
The way I'm envisioning this is you sort of run the house. Is that fair? I mean, it's your house. You bully him, and then your brother Ian. I mean, he's just one of the gaggle of victims, correct?
Oh no, he's crazy. Ian is crazy.
Oh, okay.
He always tries to whip my guts out.
Oh, okay. So Kai, what's your mom think of Ruskin?
Maybe good.
Maybe good. Maybe good.
Yep. That's
about right.
You ever look at your mom and just go, "Mom, why?
Why you have to give me Derek?"
Wow, thank you.
I'm just... You don't get a lot of respect at home, do you?
I'm going to shut the electricity off in your room upstairs. How about that?
I can just mute the mic.
You.
Oh, wow.
He'll do it, too.
Such hostility in this room.
I know, right? What?
Oh my god.
You want one?
I got a weapon and I'm not afraid to use it.
Ruskin, you better watch out.
What kind of halfway house are you running?
I don't know, man. It's wild.
Do you have an ankle monitor? Because I'm pretty sure you're going to at some point.
I'm gonna break his neck, baby.
Oh wow!
See what I'm talking about
you
here?
You weren't kidding when you said he had some violent tendencies.
I told you.
Why is he here?
I don't know. They're bringing Ian's going to the ball game with me.
Okay.
And so they're bringing Ian, and then you wanted Ian's to talk to Kai.
Jab him.
Yeah, he's gonna jab me, and then
Ian looks so nice.
Not in the inside. No,
the inside.
Oh, God.
He looks so nice. I mean, he's got his hair, night.
No, he looks like that, but he looks like a devil inside.
Oh. Okay, so I've got some questions about your home life right now, because now, I tell you every day there's a little piece that drops in that makes more sense. Now I understand what's going on.
I'm still confused.
Tex says he's nuts from Matt in Hot Springs. Matt in Hot Springs says you're nuts. What do you think about that?
I think you're crazy.
Okay, well, good comeback. Well, you're nuts.
Get a view.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, okay.
Wow.
There you go.
You just take it.
What am I going to do?
I don't know.
Pull the belt out in here? You can't do that stuff anymore.
No, please don't take your belt off.
No, because...
Yeah, your pants will fall down.
He's probably right. This is the backup belt, because the other one blew up last week. All right.
I have a belt, too.
You do have a belt, that's right. Yeah.
And I'll whoop you nuts.
What are you going to do when you get home? Anything? Watch videos?
I'm going to make a video on YouTube about spanking you. That's what.
He's going to make a video on YouTube about spanking me.
Yeah, Kai, those videos don't go on YouTube. I hear.
And they do. They just get taken down immediately.
Yeah, they get taken down pretty quick. All right. Wow. Okay.
But Kaylin's crazy.
All right. Well, Kai, thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
All right.
See, it's not hard governing these children.
No. You can just sit those down. That's fine.
Kai.
All right. Thank you.
Kai, come here for a second.
What are you doing?
Come here.
You're going to hand him money?
Yep. Haul off and belt him.
He's giving him $1 to hit me?
Just punch him.
What are you
hit him as hard
you're
as you can.
Telling He did it. He hit it again. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. No, thank you. Okay. Kai, everybody. Beating the crap out of me here live on Ruskin and Zach.
Okay. So
you got 4 punches for $1. That's a deal right there.
Quality content.
He's a great kid. What's the problem?
So your 8-year-old kid has been paid more to be here than I have.
That is correct. Yeah, that is absolutely correct.
Red
yes.
Rifle just making it about himself.
I can punch somebody for money. Who do I gotta hit?
Here, I got another.
Now everybody's here. Willing to punch.
Who wants to punch Ruskin? I got a buck.
It's funny how we can't have any cash float around here betting on the Chiefs game, but now that socking me in the arm is on the table, I'll take $2 right here.
So in that segment, Ruskin got beat and shut down.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kai.
It was fantastic, wasn't it? Who got him pick the games next year? How about that?
I think he may be hosting the show.
He's more worried about breaking your neck.
Yeah, really. He's very obsessed with this.
Yeah.
I think he's thought it through. He might have plans, like sleep with an eye open.
He's definitely he's definitely given it some thought.
Well, I sleep downstairs and they're upstairs, so I hear a little, I have a little head start when they come to the room. You know, I can hear them, going down the stairs
minute,
and everything.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. They sleep upstairs.
Yeah.
You sleep downstairs.
Yeah.
You like sleep on the couch?
No, there's the master suites downstairs.
Okay. I thought Mrs. R kicked you out.
And, No.
They're all upstairs plotting your death and you're just waiting for them to
the
come
down. The master suites downstairs and their room is upstairs.
Master suite.
Whatever you call the thing. The big room.
You do have a cleaning lady, so.
That is true.
See, they've already got the high ground.
Yes, they have. Yes, exactly. But in the event of an emergency, they're stuck up there and I'm getting out, so. You got that, too.
Wow.
All righty.
Okay.
So there you have it, folks. Mark in Jonesboro wants to set up a GoFundMe to hit Ruskin. Hey, I'll tell you this. We'll do this right now. If the football team can get to a bowl game, instead of a dunking tank, just come hit me. That's fine. Just hit me. I'll do that.
Is that just next year or what?
Well, next year, yeah.
Body part specific or...
Yeah, now you
can. Did, I wear a cup?
You did teach Ian to go downstairs.
Oh, you're in a fight? Well, that's how you end the fight, ultimately.
I have an idea for Kai.
Can I?
Can there I wear, may be money
can I wear
here.
A cup?
No.
No, I'm wearing a cup.
No.
The union says I have to. The lawyers, the ESPN 99.5 lawyers say I have to wear a cup if you do that stunt. I know what you're thinking over there, too.
No, you don't.
No,
no, you don't. No. In wrestling, I found out some of my buddies were wrestlers in high school. They used to have a drill called 5-on-2.
5-on-2?
Ruskin
and Zach.